Blog Talk Radio.
Round in the Red Sea.
Ya Shema GOCC's Monday Night Show, designed with you in mind. The first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication to Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and co-hosting is Sister Carol.
Hey there.
And hi to the people.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. At our round table tonight, we have Sister Jackie. Are you there?
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom. And Sister Aura, are you out there?
Shalom, everyone.
So wonderful. Sister Betty. Sister Betty, are you out
shalom,
there?
Shalom, sister.
All right. All right, all right, all right. We're looking to drag other people into this round table. It's a lot of fun, guys. And as Elder Ricard says, we don't vet this show. So we could be in a lot of trouble, but we do it, you know. We're winging it as we go. We like to hear, you know, what the sisters have to say. So, you know, with that said, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this round table, to ask a question or to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply continue to listen in, or you can just go to the Blog Talk webpage and do the same and click on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church. You can also reach out to us in a private email, restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. Okay, so let's get on with it, Carol. I'm going to ask you, as usual, to bring us before the throne of grace, and we've got a hot topic tonight. We want to just get started, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Tonight I'm going to start out by reading Psalms 53. It's not long. You guys don't have to have me talking too much, but it's the Most High's words, and no one can say them or craft them with more power than he does. So Psalms 53. Fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Praise the Most High for his words.
Praise him, yes.
Praise the Most High.
We thank you, Father, tonight. Ahaya, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will do, Father. We thank you for having mercy upon the children of Israel. We thank you tonight for this program. We thank you tonight for the people who will come on and share their knowledge with us. We thank you tonight for the round table, for all our friends, for the ones who are trying to help restore the daughters of Zion and pull us out of Babylon, Babylonian thinking. Father, only you have the ability to do that. As in the scripture in Deuteronomy, it says, no one can redeem us but you. Only person that can buy us back, you are our Boaz. We thank you so much tonight for everything that you've given us, Father. We ask that this program will bring edification and knowledge to us all. We ask that the topic that we've chosen will have meaning for us to take and apply to our lives, Father. We thank you so much for the faithful people who listened weekly, Father, because without them, there wouldn't be a program. It would just be us talking. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In the name of Ahaya Bashim Yeshaya, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. I hope everybody had a wonderful and blessed day today. And I just wanted to throw this out there that this is Juneteenth. I'm sure everybody on here knows what Juneteenth is. Does anybody know? I mean, I was shocked. The banks were all closed up. Everything was shut down. And I'm saying to myself, wow, they really did this, huh? Because, you know, it usually takes forever for anything like this to come to pass. But I thought it was very interesting. And then it threw me for a loop because this is also Pride Month. You know, and it's like, why do they have to merge that together? You know what I mean? It's like it always tries to seem like, you know, it's the same battle, but it's not.
Right.
It's not the same battle. Definitely not the same battle. But, you know, they do everything they can to merge them together. And what took us more than 400 years here, whereas it's been going on since, you know, God talked to Moses, you know. But the thing about it is that we've been dealing with this oppression, and we will continue to deal with this oppression until Christ returns. And we have to know that. I was listening to Ellen McCall, and I've said this many times too. Unless Wakanda is real, and we've got some serious warfare somewhere hidden, where we can all of a sudden come out with a surprise attack, we're but dead men if we try to fight this battle with, you know, carnal weapons. We can't beat them. We cannot beat Esau at his game. There's just no way in the world. So our weapons of our warfare are definitely not carnal. We don't belong here. This is not our kingdom. We have no business fighting to keep it or to make their laws, our laws, their laws, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Christ is Christ will return. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we'll be going, Most High willing. Most High willing. How many out there feel like they're just not at home? Sister Betty, you feel like that?
You know, I've never felt that way. I always felt that there was something else, you know?
Not home. You know, like, of course, the scripture tells us we should not be afraid and things like that, and of the arrow that falleth by day, and you know. But the thing is that, you know, I see people walking about the streets acting like it's all good, and I'm looking around like wondering, this place, how is dangerous out there? But it just kind of came to my heart, you know, that when I was thinking about it, and you know, if these things come as a surprise, even though the Most High wrote it down, and you know, but I think that's just how we are, because you can watch somebody who's doing things to destroy their lives, especially our loved ones. And then if something happens and they end up in the hospital or they end up where they passed away, it's a surprise. It's a shock. And, you know, it's like, because we really don't believe it. We just can't get our arms around it. And, you know, it just becomes difficult. But let's move on to tonight's program.
I want to throw something in there. In reference to not feeling at home, I don't know when I felt at home recently. When I was a little kid, I think I always thought things were cool and that, you know, all I had to do was go to sleep and tomorrow would be a new day. And, you know, the funny thing about a child, they can give us spanking, but in 10 minutes, they're back to normal, doing whatever they feel like doing. But I just wanted to read this about Juneteenth. It says, it's a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. Juneteenth marks the anniversary of the announcement of General Order No. 3 by Union Army General Gordon Granger on June 19, 1865, proclaiming freedom for enslaved people in Texas. So it says that the significance is the emancipation of slaves and states in rebellion against the Union. What I found interesting is they had the nerve to write down food that they normally eat on that day. Is they can be things like barbecue, of course, which we know is traditional Juneteenth fare. Juicy, succulent ribs, brisket, even burgers can be traditional Juneteenth fare. And red drink, so wine, you know, something deep and red. I found that pork thing to be very interesting because, you know, they're not talking about beef ribs or lamb ribs. They are talking about pork ribs for us to munch on, right? and then the other thing is that only 18 states have made Juneteenth a state holiday. So many of us still went to work. Did not, because it wasn't honored. But that's the thing with other federal holidays. Either federal buildings will be closed, but it doesn't mean the state buildings will be closed. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's up to the state. But it is a federal holiday.
Okay. Wow.
All right. Well,
I
here
never
we
knew
are.
About it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here we are, guys. Here we are. So let's move on and let's ask that question. Does looks matter? Well, we're asking, and I thought about it because I was reading a scripture yesterday. And I was also talking with, you know, a few people. And what sometimes we find is that we're talking about Hebrews. We're not talking about this world. Because we know in this world, that's all that matters. You don't have to be well. You don't have to be able to afford the house you're in. You don't have to your car, it just needs to look like it. You know? Only thing that matters in this world. But what about in our world? In our world. In our Hebrew walk. Now we know, darn Skippy, that we're supposed to look at the man for the person who they are. Let not your looks be the adorning of hair and, you know, the plaiting and all of those things it said, to let that be the hidden man of the heart. And we're aware of that. We are. But what does this appearance thing have to do with us at all? Does it have anything to do with us? So I looked at Proverbs 24 and 12, and it said, man looks upon the outward appearance.
Come on now.
God looks upon the heart. But it says that man, and that's what we are, looks upon the outward. So are looks important in the Hebrew community? And is it a blessing or is it a curse? We all know we need to dress modestly and shamefaced. That said, still again here, are our looks important? Now, Carol, you mentioned earlier today that sometimes we feel that look, once you start feeling like it's not necessary to worry about what you look like, you start putting on bum equipment. You know.
Yeah, you know, like you've been married for a while, we have a tendency to forget. What did Sister Jackie say?
What'd you say, Jackie?
Putting on sackcloth and ashes, looking like help me.
like we're at a funeral, right? Yeah, I know. Some of us, and I'm throwing myself out there, you know, like we can forget about the fact that we need to lose weight, that we need to stay that attractive person that we were when our husbands met us. And you know what amazes me is when I read that scripture in Jude and Jasha, where the men wanted their wives to take that potion so that they would never get pregnant and never lose that girly figure that they started out with. And then they said that they looked upon the other women that had children that were obedient to God as abominable, you know, ugly.
Yeah, because when some stuff happens.
Yeah, they start going south and men, you know, and we all know that men see things first with their eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can think they're looking at our brain all night long.
Oh, no.
But let's not even just look at the men. Let's look at, there are other factors here. Do attractive people receive more attention from the opposite sex, even if they're imbeciles, okay? Does the slightly more attractive child receive extra affection and attention from the mother and other relatives?
Huh. Or don't even say relatives, say a kid in school.
This is true.
You know, the teacher may treat you better just because it's so darn cute, you know, and you look at them like, oh, yeah, it was cute, and it's attractive, and it's like, yeah, my face, you know.
Okay. You know, what about for jobs and things like that? Is this, and are they more likely to get hired? All other variables, you know, I we have a couple articles we're going to look at, but, you know, let's look at what studies have consistently shown about attractive people, that they get favorable attention. And I just want to throw this scripture out there. So we do understand it affects us, because 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance.
Outward appearance.
Looketh upon the heart. Now, we know we need to try and cultivate our hearts to do better. But while we're on this earth, people are looking at us and we're looking at others in many ways based on that outward appearance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take a look at some of the articles, Carol. Let's take a look at an article and see what we have
to say first. All right. So I'm going to read The Attractiveness Bias, Why Attractive People often get preferential treatment. And it says, you are superficial, but you can't be blamed for that. That's interesting. It says, imagine you have to hire a secretary. Both the candidates have identical qualifications and experience, but you find one a bit more attractive than the other. Who would you hire? Think of a real life situation in the past where you might have had to make a similar choice. Who did you pick? Or take an example. Imagine you've just witnessed a traffic accident. There are two victims. One you find attractive, the other one let go.
Now, is that disgusting? That's disgusting.
That's too far.
Which of the two victims would you help first? You've most likely already made a choice, so read on to understand why you haven't made it. During the first presidential debate between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy in 1960, Nixon was running a fever and looked very pale. He wore light colors and no makeup. Kennedy, in turn, wore dark colors, makeup, and unlike Nixon, rehearsed his delivery in a studio prior to the debate. Nixon was compelling. People who listened to the debate by radio believed Nixon to be the clear winner. However, people who watched the debate on TV came to a very different conclusion. The difference, as you might have guessed, is because of the differences in their appearances. Kennedy is said to have looked younger, stronger, healthier, far more attractive and steadier than Nixon. The classic demonstration of the attractive bias. Despite the old adage, don't judge a book by its cover, facial cues of others often guide your first impression. These first impressions guide your decision. There are valid facial cues that assist you in assessing someone's health or intelligence, but such cues are overshadowed by an attractiveness halo. You may find it ethically repulsive to agree. But it's true that attractive people are generally perceived more positively than unattractive people, irrespective of what they actually are. They generally receive more attention from the opposite sex, even if they're imbeciles. The slightly more attractive child receives extra affection and attention from the mother or other relatives. Attractive people are likely to receive more leniency in court and are very likely to receive more votes as well. That's crazy.
It is.
Consider this classic study from 1970. 442 males and 162 female white adult callers in public phone booths in a large metropolitan airport found a completed graduate school application form, a photograph of the applicant, and an addressed stamped envelope. The picture was used to convey information as to the physical attractiveness, attractive versus unattractive, race, black versus white, and sex of the applicant. Delivery of the application was facilitated more for attractive than unattractive persons.
That's really sad, but it's just, this is the world we live in. We can find ourselves guilty of the same thing.
I think we all can.
Yes, yes. It's like we say, it really doesn't matter what a person looks like. But what do we really mean, you know? And are we really standing with that? And then what do we do about this situation? Is it a blessing or is it a curse? We saw in scripture how Tamar was so beautiful, got her into trouble, you know? We saw how others that were beautiful could, you know, beauty can get you into trouble, but then again, beauty is power also. So how do we manage this situation when we start talking about are looks important? What, you know, and how important are they? And how do we get that middle ground when you start talking about looks?
I saw this movie where this woman in a village, she was so beautiful. And she was really a nice woman. She was helpful to the elders. She was nice to the children. But when she walked the streets, the men called to her. And she would ignore them. But she also got accosted a few times. Men would try to put her against the wall and stuff. And the women and the wives got really angry at this woman and accused her falsely. They ended up stoning her and chasing her out of that community, out of that town.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just innocent. She was innocent. But she was held guilty because of her beauty.
Susanna in scripture, same thing. These two brothers, two elders in the church, decided they had to have her. Two of them together.
Yeah.
They decided they had to have her, and because she was so beautiful. And the scripture didn't say that she did things to make herself beautiful, because there are sisters that, you know, you wake up in the morning and they look pretty darn good. The majority of the world is not like that. Usually there's some hair combing that's needed, you know, maybe fix up a little bit better, tuck here, tuck there. But Zanna was a beautiful woman, and it got her into trouble. Praise Most High was with her and got her out of that trouble. But nonetheless, it can be a blessing, it can be a curse. But how do we manage that? Should we try to make ourselves look beautiful? Should we?
Go back to when you was young. Huh. Young girls. I mean, look, my granddaughter, she wakes up every morning looking beautiful.
Yeah, her absolutely.
Hair on her head.
Bed.
Mm-hmm. Her hair on her head, she's still gorgeous.
Yes.
That is the wild of the youth. That is the beauty of youth. Youth is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we go through life and we have babies and we get certain things, it changes. I remember those times when your body was in shape and you woke up, you were beautiful. No, you didn't have to make yourself up. You were just beautiful.
Yeah. But see, what I'm asking is, should we be really concern ourselves with that? Because guess what? Even though we're not little babies anymore, we are young, we are up there in age, some of us. But still, I think all of us have a desire to be admired. We have a desire to be admired. And where did that come from? And why is that in us? And I think it's because, number one, that scripture that says, man, look at the
wonderfully
appearance. He looks upon the outward appearance. We all look at the outward appearance. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not at his countenance. I mean, now this is just the way the man moves about, you know, the way he looks. or the height of his stature. Tall. He's tall. He enters the room. Look out. You know? Because I have refused. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And so we are looking at the outward appearance, and we had to be warned about this gentleman in particular, that the Most High had refused him. But we were lusting after him. We were lusting after what he looked like. I think we read that poem, Richard Corey, on the phone last week. It's the same thing. We're lusting after looks. That's what we're about. And I don't think we can do much better than that, because it says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And we we're fruit inspectors, but we can't really look at the heart, or we don't. But go ahead.
Yeah, we all have the power to be beautiful, but I think that we should be concerned about being beautiful from the inside out. Like Esther, that's what made her so beautiful. She was obedient. You know, she could have kept silence, but she spoke up and she saved the whole nation. There was, you know, being in the beauty industry myself for over 30
years. Wait a minute,
Before
you pass on to that, my darling, it was also her physical beauty that got her in where she was at. And so this is what we're saying. We definitely know we need to cultivate our hearts. If we're not cultivating our hearts, we might as well just hang up the phone and forget about everything. Nothing.
I was thinking about this earlier today, is that, you know, the true definition of ugly, we can be beautiful, but we could be ugly. Ugly is when you don't work on yourself, like, from the inside
out. I agree with that.
That's what gives us the power, or makes us beautiful, is that we've taken the time to challenge ourselves and to not be like the world, but to build godly character. And it's like, that's truly what makes us beautiful.
Go on.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can remember, like, for a long season, I was really going through a lot. Like, my family, my marriage was all broke down, and I was just broke down. And it's like, people would still, like, compliment me. Oh, you look so nice. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. I would always tell them, I would say to them, I look so much better on the inside. I don't know why I said that, because I just felt like on the outside it wasn't happening, but I was getting compliments. And I said, but I look so much better on the inside, because that's a habit that I got into, and I tried to instill that in my kids, how important it is for us to build character and to work on it. You can become beautiful. That's something you become. That's that something you just get to be. You know, you can become that by working on it.
I think that beauty, looking on the outside, is definitely what the world has adopted. And I want to read something from that article in a little while that talks about that, because we know all advertising companies, they're not really selling products. They're selling sex. So when you look at those commercials, I mean, you're just talking about some deodorant. They got some chick sitting up there. But anyway, Isaiah 53:2, let's listen to that. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Why did the Most High send someone down here? Select a body that wasn't going to have beauty, outward beauty.
I've got my opinion. Let's hear what Sister Aura has to say about that.
Well, I believe that he didn't want us to see that because he was trying to show us something else. He was trying to show us the inside of a person. But most of the time, the first time you see somebody, what you're going to do is look at the outside because you don't know them. The only thing you have is that outward appearance until they start talking, until you get to know them. It's just like when you've been married a long time. Your husband knows that you were attractive the day you met him, even though maybe the day you got up and you weren't looking that good, but he still loves it when you try to impress him, because that's saying
absolutely
that you really love him because you're trying to please him. And I think when you try to look better, you are trying to please your husband because you want him to be pleased that he chose you. So I think that we've got to try that balancing act, because not that we're trying to look, make someone so, you know, just think of our beauty when they see us, but we want to use what we got because God gave it to us for that reason, to make it be attractive. Because if we're not attracted to that person, it's going to take a very, very long time for you to really get involved with this person. If the attraction wasn't the first thing, what was it? You know, you overlook certain things. So I'm saying
this is a true story. I was on my lunch break and I went into this store, and there was a man working the store. He was up in a box up there. He was working, and so these four boys come in the store, making a whole bunch of the noise, but the one that was making the most noise and loud, he was the most attractive one.
Okay.
So when the man looked down, he goes, "No!" He yells at them. And the boy said, "Who, me?" He says, "No, the ugly one."
Oh, right.
The most attractive one. The most attractive one was the one making all the noise and carrying on. So the man pointed him out. He says, "No, the ugly one." That young man stopped in his steps because, you know, I believe that he was he's acting out because he knows he's all that. People don't tell him all that, but this man wanted to check him. He checked him. Who do you think you are? Because you're so cute, you're going to get away with what you've been doing? He called him ugly. And that boy, he shut up too.
Well, I remember when my son was in school, and the principal of the school, he was a teacher also, and he had all my kids, and then when my son got in his class, he couldn't stand him. And he couldn't stand him, he said, because my son was a clown. He'd get in there, and he said that everybody in the class waited for him to get in there because he controlled the joint when he got in there. He had everybody laughing. One day he came in, he had some wig on his head, and the teacher could not get the class back under control. He didn't even know where he got this wig from, but he came in with a wig on. And he didn't say a word, but he just had the class. And he said to me that he thinks he's smart because he's got dreamy eyes and he's a good-looking kid, but that's still not going to work for him forever. It's not. And so sometimes being nice looking works against you, depending on whoever it is. But nonetheless, what I'm thinking of is this world is we're so much about looks. We're so much about looks, and it's for and against us at the same time. But we as Hebrew women, what do we do about it? Do we need to practice making sure we look good, or is that a problem for us that we shouldn't get into? And I'm going to give you a true story. I was seeing a guy years ago, and he came to my house and waited for me, and I was sick of him, and I was like ready to let this guy go. And I said to myself, when I get home, I'm just going to tell him I'm done with him. He was in my house waiting for me. I'm like, oh, God, here we go, right? So I get in the house. I get in here. This guy looked so good that day. He had his hair cut real nice. He had really nice
outfit on and sitting there reading the New York Times. And I looked at her and I said, well, okay then. You know, I'll keep him alive, you know. He was a different person. And this is so shallow and so ridiculous. What a ridiculous story, but it's just the truth. That looks mean a lot. They can change how you feel about something. They are extremely superficial, but it does things to us. And that said, if a young woman is trying to get married to someone, should she fix herself up? Should she look better? And I thought about that when I thought about Joanna. Is that her name? Judith. Judith. When she went Josephina. I think his name was Josephina. Not sure. She went to cut his head off. She hooked herself up. She put on everything she had and made it. Where'd she get all that stuff from? She had it. Because she made herself look beautiful. And so we need to keep ourselves looking beautiful. We do.
Yeah.
Modest. Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
We represent the Most High God. I think that we still have to keep ourselves looking good. We have to.
Yes. I agree.
Yes. Yeah.
That
not
comes
just
along with everything,
way of,
like the digestive law, all that. We
with the what?
That,
I can't hear you.
That.
What you say? What
that comes along with dietary law. Because when you keep the dietary laws, we keep our bodies right. And so when we put our clothes on, our skin is, it just automatically looks good because we're taking care of ourselves. It's for health reasons and strength, and we have the strength and power to work and live in this journey because we're taking care of ourselves. Otherwise, if we're broken and feeling bad, and
it will make you feel better. Carol, you want to read something to us?
When we look better, when we look good, we feel better.
Yes. And you're less likely to treat other people badly or look at other people with a side eye if you're taking care of you. If you look good, you're not looking
at
the condition. Yeah. She
does
so a lot. Anybody else not know anything? You know? And it's just the truth.
We should purpose to be the best version of ourselves.
You go. Psalms 139 and one of y'all brought it out. 139 and 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. You know that full well. Imagine you looking at yourself and thinking like that.
That's
you're
right.
You're thinking you're going to feel good about you. You're going to be more careful with what you do with you. Because you feel good about you, you're going to treat other people better, too. I think.
That's right.
They look bad or that they don't have what you have. The question is why? Have you taken any time out to make yourself look better? And I know darn well, particularly with our hair, it takes a minute to get that hair looking good.
Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, there's so many low maintenance
styles.
I just want to say something in reference to the low maintenance style. One has to think about this. We're talking female, right?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, when we talk about the low-maintenance style, is that the same attractiveness that a man sees, or is that something in our head that we think? Because, you know, I wonder about what men see, because a lot of women think that short hairstyles are attractive. Do we think that's attractive?
I met a sister something this morning who had not even enough hair to wash. I seen
that
as a
girl.
She didn't have enough hair to wash. It was so little hair. She said to me, well, when my hair started getting gray, I said, well, that's just cutting it off. And she wears it, and she was pretty. She was a pretty woman, and she had her hair cut off really, really short, and she was she was enjoying herself. But I'm just wondering, you know, she was up there in age, and you know, I grant her that too, because hey, sometimes being we make different decisions on life, or in this, depending on the season of our life. And then I just wanted to throw out there, too, that beauty is changing. You got people walking around here with green hair, orange hair.
Yeah.
You got young men walking around with their drawers out, pants down, and their backside wing. Is this beauty? Is this, you got people wearing, you know, that the sisters have shaved all the sides of their hair completely off, and they've got like a mohawk of hair on top. So this thing is not simple. It's not simple. Mm-hmm. Some of this moves into looking gothic. We've got to get a hold of a balance and figure out what wholesome looks like. You know, you meet a young man, wait now, Beth, because so if you are meeting a young man, and let's say you don't have the greatest shape, should you put on a girdle? This is a question. I want to know.
I think some people don't know no better, so they can't do any better. And I think that that's why it's so important that people that have a big mouth, that have the truth, we have to have an outlet to speak up, because we're supposed to be speaking into the lives of these young women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you should put on a girdle. That's what girdles are for. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah.
In the old days, they had a corset. Girl, they had a corset where they put their foot on your back and tie that thing up so tight where you can't even breathe. You know, so that you
can look
attractive.
The Bush was one that she sold
attractive. This is what I'm saying.
I think sometimes as women we get really lazy. Like I said, I've been in the beauty industry over 35 years. I ain't trying to advertise nothing, but I have. I've spoken and dealt with a lot of women from all over the place, and I've had a chance to impact their lives for the good. But I found that a lot of us, a lot of times, we're lazy about taking care of ourselves. And so when we see somebody else that takes care of themselves right away, we want to cop an attitude and think we know something. You don't know nothing about somebody just because of how they look. You know, you have to get to know them. But it's possible for all of us to be beautiful and feel beautiful. But we have to renew our mind to the world. We're not like the world, but we do have to renew our mind, and we have to know that it's okay to look good. We don't have to look.
That's fine.
Because I'm going to tell you, when I first came into the truth and came out of church, I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to look like this. Like,
right.
I got to dress like this. I got to dress like this with all these colors. And I was like, no. And I was like, Lord, you got to give me some balance, because I don't want to go down like this. Like, no, I can't do this.
I know.
So
I remember when Carol first started walking with the Most High. When Carol first started walking with the Most High, she was wearing used clothes that anybody just gave her. She had this coat on. I think the buttons were about 4 inches big. And I was like, Carol, you don't have to. I said, you can be safe, but you don't have to look like it. And I mean, that was a ridiculous statement coming from me. But the bottom line is that we need to pull balance in. because we should be attractive. And especially those young people. But the scripture, Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So, you know, like I looked outside and I have some plants out there and the flowers, they're like tulips. They come up, they stand beautiful and they look magnificent and then they're gone. They're gone. And you have to deadhead those plants or they look just like ugly little weeds on your land.
Yeah.
And then there's the other plants that the flower comes and then it's gone. And so in its time. So now, you know, for older people, there's a different type of beauty, and we have to recognize the season of our life. We can't necessarily, but we can't necessarily do exactly what we did when we were 17. You know, make some of those
spikiest shoes. And we should not even
I'm not saying we are trying, but, you know, when we're talking about trying to be beautiful, those were the things we had. And those things we put on, and those were what helped us. You went out, we strutted down the street, and Lord, everybody's eye was on you. But as you change, there should be some changes in what is beautiful in you. You know what I'm saying? We need to try and figure out this thing about looking good and what actually is it that is looking good for the 17-year-old, the 20-year-old, the 40, the 50, you know.
Yeah.
If she's my age, if she's unmarried, does she change her clothes? Does she look different from me? What do we do? You know what I'm saying? Should she be wearing different clothing? Or should we all be just looking beautiful and trying to figure out what makes us, what enhances our beauty, but does not cross that line where now we're looking like a hillbilly harlot because it's very easy to go there.
That's true. But we all have different heights, different shapes.
Yes, we do.
We do what looks good on us, you know?
Right,
and
exactly.
And be modest about it. Be modest about it. But put it together. When you look in the mirror and be honest with yourself and say, well, okay, I'm happy with this. You know, I can't look like you, Shirley. I can't look like Carol because I'm Betty. I'm made different.
And
that's what makes us so beautiful. We're unique.
Right.
That's what makes us so beautiful.
Thank
it's like,
I agree.
Wow.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
We're different shades. You know, that's what makes us unique and beautiful.
But I got a text message from a sister. She said, Shalawam sisters, I dated someone who wasn't so good looking, but he always smelled beautiful. His conversation point. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something about smelling good. There is something about smelling good. And so you will remember that, his comment. And so we need to make sure we smell good. Okay? His conversation was on point, and the brother was always dressed in the latest fashion. That made him very attractive. Some men like looking at a woman without all that stuff on under their clothes. Natural confidence all along the way. And so that was her story. Now, I guess there are. You know, it depends on whatever the man is. But I'm saying, when I'm just saying put on a girdle or something like that, if you've got so many rolls, maybe you want to make that look a little nicer or what have you. I don't know. You know, I wish we had a couple of men that called in right now that could tell us, you know, what they felt about that. But they're not going to be honest because they don't know, you know. They're not going to tell us the truth. They're going to tell us what they think we want to hear, you know. But the bottom line is that in order for us to continue to look good, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Do we need to wear makeup?
No.
Do we need to?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, a lot of men will say, we don't want our women wearing makeup. And then as soon as a girl comes in there made up, and I'm not talking about looking like a hooker, but she's got a little bit of lipstick on, you know, and she, you know, she's just made up just right. That's what they're looking at. They're not looking at that girl who just washed her face clean, sparkling, and walked out and pulled her hair back. They're not looking at that.
No.
You know?
Okay, so what's wrong with
that? So I'm not saying
that
we
got to
look like a hooker and dress like a hooker, but you still need to dress and look, try to make yourself look as pretty as you can, because when the Most High asks you to present something to him, are you going to give something, just like when he asked Abel to give something to him, that he went out there and he just put something together and threw it to him. But the Most High wanted him to give an offering that was
best,
that he had thought about it, that he had done, took some time doing it. It was his best. So I'm saying,
mm-hmm,
when the
mm-hmm,
Most High
mm-hmm.
shows us scenery and everything, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He put everything
mm-hmm.
into it. And I'm saying that he said, whatever you do, do with all your might. So I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
yes.
use what
That's
the
right.
Most High gave you and try to present yourself as this person that is going
That's
to
right.
be, that you went home and you thought about what you were doing before you walked out that door.
Mm-hmm.
Not that
mm-hmm.
you were trying to be a raving beauty, but you are presentable. If you go on a job
mm-hmm.
interview, they'll tell you dress appropriately.
Exactly.
You don't come in there
mm-hmm.
wearing no tennis
exactly.
shoes and a suit. You know, you put it together and you take time and you think about, what is this I'm trying to do? I am trying to look professional.
Right.
There's a certain decorum. And
that's
for everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way
I
am. You know, men are gonna look. Men are gonna look. They look. They like to see. But when you got your stuff in order, you ain't got to be concerned about your man looking for the wrong reason, because he knows
right.
he got the jewel right beside him. You don't have to
okay.
be questioning that.
Right.
You know. But I have somebody sent me a text message, Sister Shirley.
Okay. Go ahead, read it.
Mm-hmm. It says, people feel like they can do or say or look how they want because this is a do-me society. Accept me for who I am, whether you like it or not. Song said, beauty is only skin deep. We as seasoned women are to teach the younger women, but they resist the wisdom we have.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you realize that most of these young people will tell you, I don't need to be wearing no dress all the way down to the floor, and you know you can't explain that. You know, that's because you're old, and you know you wearing those things because I've heard sisters tell me that. You know, you're gonna dress me up like an old person. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will check us when we're in play, when we're right. You know, we wear what
you
should all the
time. Well, think about what's out there right now. We have those lashes that are 3.5, that are about maybe 2 inches long. Some of them are 2 inches long, the eyelashes.
Yeah.
And now the new wig wearing phase that they have the wigs are down past their waistline. And the fingernails two inches long. Somebody tell me what's wrong with any of that.
I believe that a lot of the older women, have forgotten to set the examples
mm-hmm.
of being beautiful and staying beautiful. A lot of older women, they get to a certain point and they become old. They start to act and they look old. And then some of them try to look young by putting on black wigs and they got the wrinkly face. And sometimes the black wigs make them look older than the gray hair. So you find that they, haven't you seen an old woman? Haven't you seen them? I have looked at old women. I've seen some beautiful old women. And I'd be like, whoa,
yes.
I want to look like you when I'm 80.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
well, you know, I think it's interesting because we're saying that about our old women, but I haven't, I've almost seen no gray hair men in our church. And I know those men are dying their hair because they are, there's
they
nobody
are
in there.
Dying their hair. They are dying their hair.
You know, they have to be. And they're shaving.
What are we saying?
You know, they're trying to keep up with the women. Because a lot of them say,
did you say trying to wear wigs?
Yes, they are. Because a lot of them says they will tell you that a woman can put a wig on and they have to deal with that or dye her hair. So if we start wearing our hair, great. Maybe they'll stop trying to dye wigs.
You know,
I kind of doubt that. I just think that men are becoming just as vain as women because men are getting plastic surgery. They're getting fake hair. They're doing all the things to make themselves look beautiful because this is a world of beauty. Now, I just want to read something. And I know you guys all know this song. This is not a believer song, but I just want to sing. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the words. It says,
Go ahead.
It says, so in love, sad as could be, because a pretty face got the best of me. Suddenly you came into my life and gave it meaning and pure delight. Now good looks, I've learned to do it out, because now I know it's love that really counts.
Because now you speak your words warm and sincere,
and lets me know that your love is near. A pretty face you may not possess, but what I like about you is your tenderness. A pretty face may be some guy's taste, but I'll take loving in its place. And the last verse says, my friends ask, what do I see in you? But it goes deeper than the eyes can view. You have a pleasing personality, and that's an ever-loving, rare quality. Now show me a girl that's fine, and I'll choose the one with true loving every time, because beauty's only skin deep. Yeah.
The thing about it is that... What was that, Betty?
I said, yeah, they sing that song, but they got beautiful wives.
You're saying that's the chick on
beautiful
the side.
Wives.
They got beautiful wives.
Yeah, I believe that.
I know a couple of brothers that have wives that are not that gorgeous looking, but what I do find about those same women is they take very good care of themselves. They put on clothes that enhance what they look like, and they take very good care of their husbands, you know. So, you know, but we're saying in particular, we've talked about ugly. Ugly is usually disfigured. It's not usually that you're just plain ugly. I don't think there are not too many creatures the Most High has made that I can look at the other guy's ugly. Or that girl is ugly. No, it's usually something's either missing or distorted about you. Maybe you have no eyebrows. Maybe your teeth are banged up, you know, or something that has happened. You got a bad complexion. Some of these things.
Bad attitude where you're making frowns
in your
teeth.
Exactly.
Now that's what makes you ugly.
You got a bad attitude. The scripture talked about when the devil became the devil. He became disfigured. He became an ugly creature because he was absolutely beautiful. So
beautiful.
Definitely,
and we
talk about that all the time, that hidden man of the heart. We always talk about that.
Yeah.
But we thought tonight, we just want to talk about a little etiquette for our women, that we do need to look better. We need to take good care of ourselves, take time out and try. And I think, Jackie, you hit it on the head. Sometimes we're just too darn lazy to make ourselves look good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't feel good. I'll give you another example because I love being honest and transparent about myself because, you know, I just feel like if I can help somebody with my life, I'm going to do it. I got out of here. I had to get my laptop and it was in the Apple store in Roosevelt Field. And so I pulled up, and where was I parked out in front of Neiman Marcus. Now, I just came out in, I think I threw on a jacket. I had my pajamas on underneath, you know, and some, just threw on a pair of boots and said, let me go. I got to go get my laptop. I combed my hair. I just threw a hat on and just kept going. And when I walked in that store, it was such a mood swing because everything in there was beautiful. You know what I mean? It was so elegant, and everybody in there had their head in the air, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my, oh, I'm starting to tuck this and stand a little taller and straightening out my jacket and going, gee whiz, I look a mess, don't I? And I didn't want to look in any mirror or anything like that because I was ashamed out there looking like that because everything around me was so crimped and itched. And I was like, well, gee, there's so much involved in what you look like. Now, I'm going to tell you what brought me back to earth. I looked down at a shirt in the store because I had to pretend I was buying some. So I looked down at a shirt, and I looked at it. His shirt was $700. I said, let me get out of this store right now before I get caught up in this madness.
Back to earth,
you can get caught up in that madness, and it smelled delicious in there. But I'm only saying that to say, so your husband comes home, you look fabulous, you've combed your hair, you smell good, the house smells clean. It does something to you. It just does. And we need to recognize that, that looking good, smelling good, makes you feel good, and it's infectious.
We are royalty.
But on top of that, you gotta adjust your attitude. It's gotta be a major attitude.
But come on, Jackie, look. If you have a bad attitude, nothing works. I don't care how beautiful you are.
Exactly. We can't stress that enough. We can't take it for granted that, or think that, okay, we in the truth, so everybody got their attitude on right. That's not true, you know? And nobody I wanted to point that out because that's what truly makes us shine. You know, we should be setting the standard. You know, it's letting our light shine. It ain't about preaching to nobody. It's about letting our individual light shine. You know,
we got some people in the queue. We got some people in the queue, and I'm going to bring them in, Jackie, because I want to hear what everybody has to say. And I don't want the textbook answer. I want people to tell the truth tonight, okay? I'm going to bring in area code 856. Area code 856. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Yes, Shalom. This is the Kiki from HQ. You already said that I had. You said them already, Ecclesiastes 3:11, 1 Peter 3:4, 1 Samuel 6:7, and 8:7. So there's one that I would read, and then I'll comment, was Proverbs 31:30, and it says, faith is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen.
One of the things that truly make us attractive or unattractive is our attitude or our disposition, because the most beautiful person in the world could suddenly become ugly once they open their mouth.
Come on. Jackie just said that.
I've always taught my daughters, and my daughters are very gorgeous, but I've always taught them that beauty is what's on the inside. It's what's on the inside that counts. And true inward beauty oozes to the outside. I do mean that we should always be presentable. Like next time you go out, Sister Shirley, please be presentable. We should always be presentable. I'm just teasing.
When you had an HQ and I get thrown down, I'm kicking you behind. I just want you.
No. But you know what? That was funny.
Oh, God.
People always mistake me for you. So I take that as a compliment. People always mistake me for you. But you know what? We should as women. Whether we go to the market, whether we go to the mailbox, wherever we should go,
it's
we should
truth.
Be presentable.
It's the truth.
But I also know this. I was feeling this way because They're always on the, yes, us women should look presentable. And I know they tell them the women lose weight and women get themselves together, right? So I had to think, mm-hmm. If the men want to look at something nice, maybe the ladies want to look at something nice too. So I had to think, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want a man with a big old belly, a big stomach and all that. But then you have to stop and think, just because he has a big stomach, he could also have a big heart to go with that big stomach. And what's more important is his faithfulness, his walking the Most High, his loving the Word, keeping the commandments. Is he a provider? Could he love me? Would he protect me? Those are the most important things, right?
I grew up with my grandmother
and her sisters, and they used to rant and rave about this movie called Gone with the Wind. Only thing I know about that movie was Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara, and he told her don't give a darn. That's all I knew about the movie. The past 2 days, I watched that movie. Mm. And guess what? At the end of that movie, Scarlett O'Hara was a lonely woman.
Because she was a beautiful woman, but she had a horrible disposition. She was nasty to almost everybody.
You know, so mm-hmm. you can get that bad attitude whether you're a man or a woman. But mm-hmm. yes, we should mm-hmm. always look good because we represent the Most High. We should look good. We should smell good. We just be good. Yes, and it's nothing.
It's absolutely true.
But me personally, I really like for people to see my heart. That's really how I am.
Amen.
I do
present
myself.
Amen.
But I really want people to see my heart. Look at Keisha's heart. That's what I want them
Amen.
To see. The compassion
Amen.
That I have for people, the love that I have for people, uh-huh. that I will be there for people, that I will help you if you need help. I will, you know, there's nothing that I don't think that I wouldn't do for a person if I have it within the means to do it. And that's what I want people uh-huh. to see. Christ, the love of Yeshua and the Most High dwelling on the inside of me.
Definitely, we applaud that. And as Hebrews, I think that is our epitaph. That's what we want, 100%. But we're just dealing with a little etiquette tonight because some of us could use some information. Some of us,
that's true.
You know that some of us could use some information that it just takes a little bit of work. And you can have that heart of gold, but if it's hidden, you know, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel.
You want to be standing out.
And in order to you're that candle, you're that light, but you want to be set up out like, act like that.
Yes.
And sometimes the way we present ourselves causes us not to be able to make it into that place where we need to be seen. And sometimes, it can be just being a little lazy. A little lazy mm-hmm. is why when you walked in that door, your home didn't feel like home. Or when your husband came in from a hard day's work, or someone who's courting you, or what have you, or friends that come by. Isn't it nice when you go over to someone's house and their house is so welcoming? And so presentable.
Yeah.
All that has to do with looking good. Now, is any of that necessary? Is it really necessary to get into the kingdom? You know what I'm saying? But it does draw people. It does help. It does show the magnificence of the Lord in many ways.
Your light shines.
Balancing that out and not acting like, it doesn't matter, you know, presentation is a lot. You know, I think Carol brought it out one time. You serve a steak dinner and you got all the good stuff to go in it, and then you hand it to them on top of a garbage can cover. Who's eating that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
now, I won't take credit for that. That's Bill Cosby. Wait a minute. Oh, I forgot we're not supposed to mention his name. That's what a guy said to me on the phone one day. I said that. I said something about Bill Cosby. He says, we're not supposed to mention his name, please. Anyway,
I just wanted to thank you for that. That was beautiful. Okay?
Yeah.
And I appreciate you telling me that because, you know, as a young person, I never used to. step out the door without every hair in place. I think I can get away with things now because I played an old card. But okay, I appreciate that. All right.
You're beautiful.
I'm gonna put you back. You're so cute.
You
thank
know,
you. Hang on, hang on. I'll put you back. Is she still talking? Was she still talking? Okay. All right. I'm going to bring in area code 850. Area code 850. You're on the air with the Wild Daughters of Zion tonight.
How are you all doing?
We're doing good.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We can.
Oh, okay. I got on the broadcast kind of late, and I was kind of kicking myself because I've been tickle pink ever since I got on last met you all. My name is Sandra from the Mississippi Body.
When
I seen the topic, it kind of brought back some stuff to mind. The first thing I want to say is the topic says or looks important. And this is just a little quick story. I have a friend of mine, her sister, they're from the tribe of Issachar. Her sister, they were beautiful girls. Her baby sister, we worked at CNA's in a nursing home. The sister, she didn't stay long, but she made the statement, well, she would always make the statement, I look good. That will take care of me for the rest of my life. I don't have to work hard like you all. And I had to tell her, you know, like, well, I'm glad you think them looks going to, you know, carry you through life. I said, because you need to fade, baby. You need some from the inside out. I said, how you think?
Right.
You can't take your looks and take them down to Gulf Power or to the water place to pay your, you know, your bills or anything like that. Later on down the line, her sister ended up, you know, not working real for me. She was sleeping around with everybody. Now she has AIDS or what have you, just because she thought those good looks that she can just sleep around. And even with her being diagnosed with AIDS, which she got them, she was diagnosed probably before I even had my last son. And he's 18. He just graduated. So she got it right after she made these statements, like a couple years after or what have you. And she still sleeps around to this day with even guys way younger than her, married men, just carrying on all sorts of ways. So just with her attitude of thinking she looked just that good, that was her mindset. Like that was her meal ticket to have everything that she wanted in life to get her to live a certain kind of lifestyle.
You know, we can get our whole mind messed up. And that's why we talked about in the beginning of this broadcast, we talked about how in this world, looks is more important than anything. You don't even have to be well if you look good. You know, eat this and, you know, take Botox and shoot it into your jaws to make your wrinkles go away, but that's straight up botulism poison and FDA approved. So in this world, looking good is more important than even being healthy. But we're trying to get the balance in looking good and, of course, our hearts being right. If our hearts are not right, none of that makes any sense. None of it.
Right.
I got a text from one sister that said, hold on, Carol.
Go ahead.
Speaking of looks, it makes me think about how, and you said this, Carol, how the Most High wanted the temple ordered and decorated very specifically. I think that was Torah. Now we are the temple. How much more should we adorn ourselves as a sacrifice for him? I love it.
Okay. Beautiful.
So sister, that's really important. That's really, really important. And I'm glad you brought that out. You know, and from what body?
Mississippi.
Wow.
And that's from not just ourselves, but a lot of our guys, a lot of these men, they need to kind of be aware of that, especially those that's still in the world, because like one of the sisters mentioned, they'll take somebody who looks good over somebody who don't look as, who's not attractive, a woman that's not attractive, thinking that they really, you know, have themselves something in there. They're just fooled, not knowing what that person, like I just mentioned, could be sick or anything. All they know is they just, you know, they just look good. They have eye candy, and eye candy is not the best thing to have right about now.
This is very true. This is very true. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, if you might not be that woman that wakes up and rolls out of bed and looks great. But you can that whole package together. You can pull that whole package together if you use a little more energy and take a little bit more care to yourself. And then do your caring about your surroundings and what you present to others. It's important.
That's right.
I think it is. And you, guess what? We can carry that too far.
And do it on, take care of yourself on a regular basis. You know, repetition, easy. Easy, pleasure. Pleasure, often habit. The more you do it, you'll just enjoy taking care of yourself. Make it a part of your day. Go beyond, you know, just the basics. Go beyond. Do something for yourself. And we have a hard time with that.
And, you know, my daughter and I, we had a makeover counter at the Coliseum Mall some years ago. And my motto, I put it on the wall, there are no ugly people, only lazy ones. It is just it's just to get up and, because chance happens to us all, you know. We don't know. We could be beautiful one day and have a stroke or have a car accident. That's how we put that balance on it, you know. To get up and to make yourself look nice, look good for yourself, all we have is ourselves. That's the only thing we could take into the grave with us is
Okay, sister, I'll put you back in the queue. Oh, is that you talking? Okay, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, no, I just wanted to say, you know, just remind all the women that you only get one, you no matter what shape, size, because everybody's not meant to be made up the same. You get one, you work on you, love you, no matter what nobody else think, what nobody else has to say.
That's right.
The inside and on the outside will look marvelous to anybody you come across. And that's all I have to say. And you sister,
wonderfully made.
All right.
Amen.
I'm going to put you back in the queue. Praise the Most High. Well, you know, I just
throw out there. And wonderfully
before made. Before we go on further, I've seen sisters that are as big as the Snuffleupagus put on some really nice outfits and look wholesome. I've seen. I know how hard it is to lose weight. It's not that simple, especially for people that have had kids and stressed out and then all this leaky gut syndrome or whatever it is they got rolled out and given to us. You can't eat anything but an apple all day long. I mean, this is not fun, but know what to put on. Know that you put on something and you look like a barrel of potatoes. That might not be
Come
that attractive.
Now.
Put on That's something right. where it's going to enhance what you look like.
Exactly.
And we can do it. Take a look
learning.
Yes. Fix up
and
what
we
you
have
look
to position,
like.
And we have to position ourselves, all of us, that change is at hand. We have to constantly be ready to change and improve ourselves for the kingdom. As I know, before I came into the truth, I hated long dresses. I'm telling you, I struggled with that. I used to say, I'm not going to wear no long dresses until I get older. And I'm very youthful for my age. I'm 62, but I'm very youthful. I don't think like an old person, an older person. That never crosses my mind. But, I had to change. I had to change because at first at our church, sometimes I would wear dresses where my legs were exposed. But then I had to grow out of that. I'm like, ain't nobody around here got their legs out. Let me cover my legs up. So we learn from each other. You know, we learn from each other. So really, the only time I might uncover my legs is when I'm with my husband by myself. I'll uncover my legs because he needs to see a little leg every now and then.
Some of us have beautiful legs. Beautiful legs.
Yeah. Well.
And these young people, they're popping junk out there. Listen, some of us got some really nice legs, but we're keeping them covered.
Beautiful.
And it was 5 minutes ago when we had those heels on out there. I'm gonna bring in another caller.
Legs you can stand on. That's what beautiful legs is. Like beautiful hair. Hair that's on your head. Hello.
Hang on. Area code 631. Area code 631. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 631.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
We can.
Yes.
Hello.
I can hear you. Great. I'm going to be very carnal here because I'm going to make it brief. there's something going on between peace. Yeah.
Her voice
You don't have to hold on to the button, but I'm going to stay. I shouldn't say carnal. I should say physical, okay? Because there's something going on between people and between men and women all the time, and I'm just now catching that.
Okay,
so start from the top of the head and go down. Okay, there's things that catch the eye. There's things that catch the breath. And then there are things that warm the heart.
Mm.
One of them three things is going on all the time. Now, you may not catch his eye, but maybe you warmed his heart. Or maybe you did something that just took his breath. You don't know. You understand? Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
One of them three things is, it may not catch his eye, it may not catch his breath, but it's something about you that maybe you find yourself like almost gazing at each other, you know, not looking the man up and down. He ain't looking you up and down, but you're looking at the eyes, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I like that.
And there is beauty. You see, that's what I mean. It's not... I'm just going on the physical thing because men are very physical. They're hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They got that long eye, okay? We were gatherers and raising kids, so we kept things close to us. Okay, so men are more visual than we are. They just are. They set up that way, they're going to look. Okay, and they'll look at something that's detestable just as quick as they'll look at something that's holy. You know, it's what attracts their attention. Okay, but after that, look, do you catch his breath? Do you catch his heart? That's all I got to say. Okay, ladies, that's it.
Okay, so
Who agrees with that men are more visual than we are? Do you feel like men are more visual than women are? That we don't care what somebody looks like? You know, we'll go out with this man who...
I think that we care about what a man looks like, but I'll tell you, I mean, as far as his physique is concerned, but I know women look at the face. They pop you all night long. They look at your face. I think men, they may look at your face, but they look at the way you're built, too. I think they're very visual. And it's like, let's just be honest here. That is just the way God, I guess, has made us. But what we're trying to understand is that what should we as holy women look like? We should be clean. We should be neat. We should try to be attractive, but we should not try to be alluring. I think that's trying to break a man down with our movements. And sometimes it's hard to stop that. Because there are some people who are just so darn charming that you watch their arm move. But we're trying to get the Daughters of Zion to stop with the Babylonian mindset.
Right.
Because
right.
Television moves us in the direction of worrying about how beautiful we look. But we're trying so hard to make us understand that we need to
turn off
more.
The TV and get into the Bible.
Yeah,
we want to have a
different beauty that the Most High says. And maybe we should look at some of the scriptures that the Most High says are beautiful. Instead of us trying to explain it, why don't we turn to some of those scriptures? And I just want to start out with 1 Peter 3:3-4. He says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. I read that because that should be something that not just the daughters of Zion are reading, but the sons of Zion should be reading that too. So that they know what to look for in a woman, and a woman knows what to look for in a man, in the sense of that a man should not be trying to just be absolutely beautiful for us, strutting through like a peacock with his leaves shaking, but to try and show that godly man that we all need, because he can be as cute as he wants. But you get that little fine buddy in your house and find out how you're treated. He's walking that song says, you know, you walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. You had one eye in the mirror as and to watch yourself come on, right? That's the deal. We don't want that. We want a man who is, first of all, looking at Christ. And I'm just going to remind us about something, and I'm going to try to bring it to memory properly, about the apprentice that was learning how to refine gold. And, you know, you've got to continue to heat gold, and the rocks and all of that stuff will eventually fall off of the gold, because gold is in, when you find it, it's not just sitting there like a big ring of gold. Oh, yeah, baby, got some gold. No. All mixed up in mess. So you have to heat it and refine it to get all the impurities out of it. Like the Most High says, gold tried in the fire. Well, the apprentice wanted to know, when will I know this gold is ready? And he said, you can look down at the gold, and when you see your face, you know it's ready, like a mirror. So when we look down at the gold, we should see Christ. Christ's face should be in there. That's the reflection that we should see when we look down at the goal, because we're trying to look like him if we are what the word is, Christ-like, a Christian, right?
Yeah. And I find when you're walking with God, when your mind is on the Most High most of the time, there's a beauty and a sweetness about you. There just is. And so that's another thing that we have to do to take time out. And I'm just saying, can we merge these things together and have a comfort in it and realize that we have to keep the temple up. We have to keep the temple clean. We have to keep the temple clean. Because for whatever reason, we are the temple of the Most High God. How dare we keep this house looking around?
Yeah.
How dare we keep this house
looking around? When you look at a man, you want him to look strong. You know, I'm into manly men. I mean, I've always been. If the man looked manly and got swag and he looked strong, that is very appealing to me. You know, the face is good, you know, but his overall appearance and it manly, and you, how can you be that way if you got gluttonous behavior? I can't admire a man who looks like he's got gluttony going on. Just like I don't expect him to feel the same way about me if I look that part. You know?
It means we got work to do. It means we got work to do. Because if our sizes are not what it's supposed to be, we look gluttony. We look like we're out of control. And we look like we don't care. We look like that. It's almost like if you were going to hire someone, and today we don't do it, but if you were going to hire someone to watch your children, and they came in, they were all disheveled and looking a wreck, we're not going to hire them. Because automatically you're telling us you're not in control. You're not in control. We have to be in control. When that Holy Spirit that we have helps us with self-control. And so what we're trying to say tonight is put into your schedule some time to take care of your temple, especially the young women that are out there looking to marry. you're not going to necessarily be seen if your light is under a bushel. You know? Put your light up on a candlestick. Stand out. And let it be beautiful. Stand out can mean be helping each other people more. You come through there, people smell you, you're clean, you're neat, everything is tidy. You took some time and you cared. People want to know how much you care. And when you care, and there too, it can't be an overabundance of it. It has to be balanced, because you can go into someone's house, I've been here before, where they're more concerned about what their house looks like that you can't even live. You know, you walk in the door and it's like you can't touch anything and everything is just so this and that. I had things that were just hanging around. Don't touch that. Don't look at that. And I just learned, use everything I have. Use it. Because if we don't use it, why is it there? You know? And it's like, I want people to be at home. I want people to be comfortable in my home. I want them welcome, not feeling like, oh my God, you couldn't even breathe in there. You know, and so it's a balance that we all have to bring about, even with what we put on. So the 3-inch eyelashes, it's too much. Ladies, it's too much.
Yeah.
You really need to know that you shouldn't wear it, because number one, you look like the sisters on Love and Hip Style.
Look like the world.
Minnie Mouse. Yes, you look like the world. We don't want to look like the world. We have to, there has to be a clear distinction between the holy and non-holy. There has to be.
I'm not saying
if you need to do a little something, because you should. And we've talked about that. If you don't have any eyebrows, it's not normal. Put some eyebrows on. You know? If you have something where your eyelashes are short, you can make them look a little nice with adding a few things here and there. You don't have to look like the world, but because you've lost a tooth or you've lost some, you know, your brows are not growing back or what have you, and you can look on the University of YouTube and try to find out how to make these things grow back naturally too. Sometimes there's hope for that, but in the meantime, if you've got a front tooth missing or what have you, or even the back teeth, if you can afford it, get it fixed, because you can't chew your food up right, you're going to be sick, you know? So, okay, if you can't do that, you're going to have to go on a liquid diet, but at any rate, We definitely have to pay attention to our physical bodies. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes I need somebody to put me on my shoulder and say, hey, get it together. Because I know sometimes when I'm at the tabernacles, I'll be running all over the place and just doing, and I look like hell's half acre. And my husband is looking at me like, is she crazy? You know,
bring it back. Bring it back to balance.
That's exactly right. I had to calm it down. You have to take time for you. You have to put that time in place.
Valuable.
Yeah.
We're valuable. We're precious. We're special. You know, just to know that we are the temple of God, that is huge. Like, the Most High is residing on the inside. His Spirit is on the inside of us. That's huge. For that reason, we should be able to hug ourselves, you know, smile at yourself instead of waiting on somebody to smile at you. Smile at yourself. Teach yourself how to smile, you know.
And we talked about that not too many weeks ago.
How to be loving, how to be kind. It takes practice. We just don't wake up and be kind. We don't wake up and be loving. We don't wake up and be none of this. It takes work. It takes practice. We go to work all day, and we work, and we tired when we get home, and we grouchy. But we have to still practice kindness, because that husband is waiting at home to be loved on. He don't want No, he's not trying to get with you on that level. He don't care about that. He wants you. He don't care about how many babies you got. You've been nursing all day. I told one lady, I said, how often do you nurse your baby? They said to me, whenever the baby wants it. And guess what I said to her? I said, that's really nice. I said, make sure you give it to your husband whenever he wants it. I mean, really, that's your husband. He needs to be nurtured, too. You know?
That's a good point.
Just like that baby. He's a big old baby.
It's a good point.
You know? Because if you keep him happy, you're going to be happy. Come on now.
No, that's a good point because sometimes we pay more attention to the children than we do our own husbands. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah. And maybe you're looking all sad and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and them little babies. And them little babies
are
going to grow up and move out.
It's like, uh-uh. Yeah,
they're moving out, leaving your behind right there.
Yeah.
Leaving your behind right there. But listen to this, 2 Samuel 11 and 2, and this is the ESV version. I just pulled it up. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house. I'm sorry, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. I'm just bringing that scripture out to make us know, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware that you're not turning somebody on by possibly being in the wrong place, the wrong time, doing something that maybe you needed to be somewhere else where somebody couldn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in a hotel in downtown Manhattan, and I, uh-huh. you know, there were no curtains on the windows. I understand that because it wasn't like it was in the woods. There were buildings right across from us. And so I looked out the window, and right across from me, I saw this woman exercising, and she was, you know, kind of a big woman, and she was straight up naked. I'm like, well, what is this?
Oh, my God.
It's in the West Village. Whatever does it mean? And so then I went into the bathroom. There was nothing on the shower. I had to go get a pillowcase and hang it up on the window because it didn't make any sense that sometimes you just have to pay attention to your surroundings and make sure you're keeping yourself covered and you're not putting yourself in a position. And that's why sometimes I tell the sisters, watch your cleavage. They are making the clothes where the blouses are just very low. And that's all it is to
uh-huh.
They're doing that on
I'm clothes I made for
us. If you look at the television of some of these women, you can hardly face them because their breasts are in your face. They're in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, you know, you want to get that out of here, please. And so why uh-huh. can't you put a camisole underneath it? Get a camisole.
Yeah.
It's very nice looking. If you put a nice camisole under that dress, then you're not constantly pulling that dress up.
Yeah.
You're not putting yourself in a place where you're going to cause a brother to stumble.
That's right. That's a worldly plan anyway.
She said to me when I spoke to her. When I spoke to her, she said to me, well, look, I can't help it if my shape is like this. I can't.
Oh,
and
my
I told
God.
Her, there's so many women in here that have beautiful shapes, and nobody's in here dressed like that. Okay? Nobody's in here with this dress.
Oh, so you did check her.
Oh, yeah. But she wasn't happy about it.
Wow.
She said to me, look, I don't have to come back here anymore. And I tried to say, you know, that's not what we're asking you to do. I had a caftan that she could put on. It was brand new. She wasn't interested in that. But all I'm saying is that sometimes we have a tendency to think it's okay to come out and entice others because for whatever reason it makes us feel better that somebody likes us, somebody looked at us. No, cover up because you're causing someone to stumble, but you still can look beautiful. You can look beautiful.
That's right.
you know. So
yeah,
you know,
it's a bad case of low self-esteem.
Well, yeah.
I said
yeah,
it's a bad
it's definitely low case, but you see, sometimes it's I need to get a brother, because see, I've seen sisters, old and young, that do it, and there's an excuse all the time. There's always an excuse, and so sometimes in the Christian church when we used to go there, that was acceptable behavior. It was acceptable.
That's true.
That you could wear low cut blouses in the church.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't a problem. And as long as your skirt hit your knee, you were not frowned on. Now, when you sat up and that skirt went up to your thigh, they actually had little blankets in there that you could cover yourself with that they would have you if you were in the front row. Yeah. If you were in the front row, they give you a blanket to cover your knees with so that the guys in front and in the choir and in the pulpit were not looking, you know, at your legs and stuff.
They have tight jeans on in the pews now.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we want to make sure if we're going to look beautiful, we know that man looks on the outward appearance. And for whatever reason, we want to look pretty. We just want to. That's just truth. And so even if there may be those of us that want to look pretty that are too lazy to make it look any better and won't put in the work, even though they still want to look pretty. But what we're trying to do is let's balance this out. Let's look wholesome. Let's look wholesome. You know, let's make sure whatever we're doing, we're not stumbling anyone else, but that we are. Wouldn't it be nice you say, you know, that church has some beautiful women in there. Beautiful. Inside and out. Be nice.
We have the power on the inside of us to change. We just have to draw from the power. The power source is on the inside of us. We have to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and we got to download all this knowledge that we're getting. I'm finding that a lot of people have head knowledge, but it's far from their heart. It's like it's got to get to your heart, from your head to your heart, and it's stuck. It's like the plumbing is jacked up. We got to get that plumbing working from the head to the heart, and then we can move forward.
Jackie, you said you had something to read. Go ahead and read it.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady, she said the news, they were broadcasting different Juneteenth activities, and unfortunately the ladies were twerking. They were twerking for the camera. This where many of the young women don't have beauty on the inside, because it's all about attention. They came, you can share this, or she said you can share this. So it was all about attention seeking. They couldn't even get the message out because women was on the camera twerking in the camera. So
I think I saw that. I think I saw that. I think they had on, they had on what looked like a pair of underwear, too. Mm. And they were up there.
And then
just shaking it up tonight.
This other message says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a woman, I put away childish things. And when you mature in the truth, you think differently. You carry yourself as a daughter of Zion.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're Sarah's children. We have to act like it. We have to look like it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? She was an older woman, and she had to say she was her husband's sister because she was that beautiful. So there was something beautiful about her, and I'm sure she wasn't dressed provocatively, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
we have to balance this thing out where we can dress the way we're supposed to dress, recognizing the season of our life, as teach the young people what they should wear, how they should move about the cabin. Because guess what? Sometimes you can have on a dress and just look so slovenly that it just doesn't, here, Lynn, it just does not benefit you. I'll be off at by you. You know? And so sometimes we have to even learn how to carry ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but okay, but guess what, guys? It's 9 o'clock.
Wow.
That was quick.
So quickly.
Okay.
So, Sister Aura, anybody got any last things they want to say before I have Sister Aura pray us out?
Well, I want to bring in 1 Kings 6 and 7. Now, this doesn't say anything about the adorning, but just listen to the scripture.
Mm.
It says, and the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. He is building his temple so carefully. The only, you know, that he doesn't want any noises inside of it. And I'm just simply throwing that out there to say that that's our beauty. Quietness and care. I mean, he had everything set and carved correctly and then attached. So we our bodies are the temples now. Are we presenting ourselves like that? And then there's one more scripture I wanted to look at. It's Exodus 19 and 10. And he said, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Because then they were supposed to come out before the Lord, clean and consecrated. That means their minds were consecrated. Their thoughts were consecrated. And they had to come prepared, clean, and presentable. So when we come before the Lord, that's how we're supposed to go before him. And so when we're stepping out, if we come to the scripture says, go ye forth, right, and teach and what have you, and try to convert to show them the way to Christ. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that if we come out looking crazy? With our clothes all not right, skirts too short, lashes out, we will look like the world. We have to still look like we are representing Christ's kingdom. and that's it for me.
All right. I think that we have carried this thing as far as it can go. And so we hope that, you know, some of the sisters kind of got a glimpse of what we're trying to say, including us.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes we need to tap ourselves on the shoulder and say, sister, do something with those fingernails, you know, do something, make that look a little bit better, you know, and that's where we're going to go with it. So, Sister Aura, you want to tie it up and bring out something?
Right. I want to bring out this scripture about, you know, Romans 12 and 1, where it says, I beseech you, you therefore, by the mercies of the Most High, that you present your bodies a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Most High, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Most High. So always talking about keeping in mind with what the Most High has said to us. That's first and foremost. If we can do that, we will be able to dress appropriately, carry ourselves appropriately, because we've got the Most High in mind. And it's not that we're trying to impress anyone. We're trying to let we're trying to use what the Most High gave us, so we can be. And I know that I'm saying we just kind of started out with prayer, and being the people that the Most High would have us to be. And I'm sure that this is going to make us attractive. And everybody said that in so many ways, but you know, we just got to do better. And if we're always trying to improve ourselves. You know, not that we're trying to be like the world, because that's not what we want to be, but we do want to be, we are the Most High's temple, so we need to keep our bodies in shape And
yeah,
and that's our reasonable service. That's what it says. All
right.
So let's just bow our heads and pray and just ask the Most High Father. We come to you this evening, Father, because I know some people took it one way, some took it another way. But, Father, we ask that you go in and help us to make that balance, Father, because we do not want someone to look like a harlot, but yet we don't want someone to look so homely that we might think they're homeless. Father, we ask that you give us what we need, Father, to be a blessing to someone else, Father, to lift up someone else, and to represent you, Father, because you said we are your ambassador, Father. So we have to always keep these things in mind, Father, and just everything, you know, so we're not over-exaggerating, and that's what the world does. They over-exaggerate, but you have to do everything in moderation, Father. So we just pray and ask, Father, that you keep us mindful of you, thinking about what you're asking us, Father. Because if we're always saying, Father, what would you have me to do? Father, help us, Father. Just keep us in that mindset, Father, so that we can always say, keep in mind that we are doing this because of the Lord. These are main things we pray in your precious Son, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right, everybody, have a very blessed evening, and we hope to see you next week. Okay? Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.